When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Monday has arrived. Welcome. Good afternoon. Welcome in as we are digging into May. The first official week is underway, and we are here all week, or thereabouts, to bring you whatever you would like. We have phone calls, we have guests. Let's start with some headlines right now. What's the best job in the country? Well, Randy's job, maybe? Yay. Certainly the highest paid. This is what Brad Crawford had to say. He'll join us later to answer these allegations. He says Georgia is best, Texas, Ohio State, LSU over Alabama, Oregon, Oklahoma, Florida State, Michigan, and even A&M is a good job. You do a lousy job and you still make $75 million when you get fired. I'll take that job any day. How about some overreactions? Anybody overreacting to spring? I'm not, but apparently some people are. Why are we looking at Lane Kiffin there? Just wondering. That story in a few minutes. And as Tiger Stadium turns 100, we're writing a book and need your help. Does that mean you and me, Randy, or our guest Scott Rabelais? Probably Rabelais. Sounds more like a guy writing a book about LSU than Randy. He'll join us later, as you can guess. Chris Lowe kicks it off in a few minutes. Rabelais joining us. And Brad Crawford. We put this question out on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Name the most heated rivalry of all time. I voted for Jim from Tuscaloosa versus AJ. Apparently, I-Man versus the little feller, his words. We're getting your reaction right now on X. And your phone calls to start things off. And I look down there, and I don't really know where to go, Randy. This is a who's who of all kinds. It's Monday, it's May, we're in the South. Can you start with somebody named Bubba?
Absolutely.
Bubba.
Randy, what's shaking, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey, speaking of lists, top 10, top 20 lists, I just happened to see the top 20 college football personalities for 2024. And man, they didn't have you ranked very high. I was highly disappointed.
Yeah, listen, everybody's got a list, and everybody's got
their... Have you seen that list?
I did catch it over the weekend, and...
That's pretty much a joke.
What can I say? I mean, you can always tell... There are always a couple of key things in there. I don't want to say it, but it's pretty self-explanatory.
Well, they had Desmond Howard, like, at 7th, McAfee at 4th. They had Laura at 20th, which was a joke.
I mean, if Laura is number 20th, then the list has no credibility whatsoever.
Oh, absolutely. It was a joke. Had Booger right ahead of you. You were 15th. I'm like, is this even for real?
We have to remember, Bubba, this is just some guy. I don't even know who it was, but some guy puts out a list. He gets a lot of reactions, so therefore he wins.
Yeah, I guess, but it's like it's subjective as any other poll, I guess, we look at. But I want to give a shout out. I know he doesn't have a very big fan club outside of Knoxville, Tennessee. But I got to tell you, Paul, Danny White's done a pretty good job with the athletics all around.
He has.
Baseball team's rocking. The girls' softball, football's coming back to the front. The basketball had a really solid season. I'm not going to sit here and say Tennessee's on top of anything, but they're very competitive compared to where we've been just very recently.
Well, I think things are in great shape on Rocky Top. Hey, great to hear from you, Bubba. William is in Augusta. Hello, William.
Hey, Paul. I hope you're doing well today.
Thank you.
I know you think a lot of Tim Tebow, and I have thought a lot of him over the years also, but I saw him give an interview, and I just randomly found this. I think it was on the Fox Business Network. He gave an interview with John Rich, country music
sure,
guy.
Big and Rich.
He's got probably got a program where he interviews people on there. And he told a story, and you know that his parents were missionaries in the Philippines.
Of course.
Do you know that story?
Yeah, no, I know both his parents.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Well, this is a story he told, and I don't know exactly when this happened. It might have been when he was playing or right afterwards. But his father calls him up out of the blue, and this is what he tells him. He says, "Tim, I've got some surprising news for you. I just bought 4 girls." Now, think a little bit, and you can think why he bought the girls. They obviously were going to be sex trafficked.
Right.
Or just abused in any numbers of ways. So that just solidified for me. When he comes from a family like that, that's called putting your money where your mouth is. And it got no acclamation. I think Tim just told it. It's kind of a matter-of-fact thing. But I almost started crying when he told that, because those girls were rescued from a life of debauchery, pure debauchery. So if you ever get a chance, I know you haven't interviewed him a whole lot. You're on the pregame show with him, but I would love to see you interview him, and not just about football, but about motivation and about his faith and everything else. That would be a great interview, I believe.
Well, I appreciate the suggestion, William. I'll definitely do that. We talked to Tim quite a bit. Thank you very, very much for the call. Bash is next.
Bash Bro Paul, how you doing today?
Okay, Bash.
Good to hear. I'm shooting some basketball right now, getting some downtime before I head to the game tonight. So I wanted to ask you, Paul, a question I was curious about last week. Since my Denver Broncos drafted Bo Nix to be their new starting quarterback, I was wondering if you see any comparison between him and potentially Joe Burrow.
No, I mean, I think Bo is a really good quarterback, but I don't think he's quite in Joe Burrow's league.
Well, I was thinking the same thing, but then I remembered a few weeks ago you had one of the receivers from Florida coming on the show, and you did a great interview with him, and you discussed the transfer portal scenario as far as like players and getting them new opportunities, and I think that's where I got the comparison to think of, where Burrow was out of the SEC. They came into the SEC and made a transition in his career from that point on. And the same can be said about Bo Nix, how he started in the SEC but then left the SEC so that he can do the same thing. Am I far-reaching in that comparison, or
no,
what do
I
you
mean,
think, Paul?
I think there are some comparisons. I mean, Joe started at Ohio State and was behind two really good quarterbacks. Bo started his first game at Auburn, ironically, against Oregon. Gus Malzahn was his coach, and when Malzahn left, Brian Harsin just simply did not utilize Bo correctly, and that's one reason why Bo decided to leave. But I think it really depends, Bash, on what they put around him, and I think he can be a good quarterback, though. I don't have any issue at all with them taking him. Thanks for the call. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
Way overrated. 2/3 of Bo Nix's passes were 6 yards or less. He's a bubble pass quarterback. But anyways, I think you're the number one personality, and whatever Randy does, he's the number one or has the number one part-time job. Wouldn't you agree?
He's certainly the highest paid part-timer in America.
Yeah. Hey, I found Cousin Shane funny and knowledgeable, but a lot like Brat the Rat, they seem to have a blind spot with Alabama. Did you notice that?
Yes.
Yeah, and particularly his analysis of Texas A&M, I thought, I agree, they're going to be much improved. Jimbo, like Bobby Petrino, were two of the most overrated coaches. You take away their Heisman quarterbacks, and they never really had great coaching years. Mike Elko will turn that program around. But, Paul, the newest CFP format is 5-7, right?
Correct.
The 5 conference winners and the next 7 at large?
Right.
Yeah. So Notre Dame's going to lose three games, beginning with Texas A&M. You take the five and you give one or two additional games to the ACC and Big 12. That seems to leave three to four teams for both the SEC and Big 10. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I feel like I'm taking an aptitude test here. Yeah, keep going.
I got Georgia and Texas by way of their talent. I've got Missouri by virtue of an easy schedule. Number four is Alabama by way of a both talent and coaching. And then over on, well, let's take care of Mississippi and LSU. They'll be looking in Mississippi because of their coach and LSU because they lost three great first-round draft choices. On the Big Ten, though, I've got Oregon and OSU and PSU, that's Penn State, by way of its schedule. How do you see the CFP, if you were just to guess?
Yeah, I mean,
at this
John,
point?
I haven't really done as much work as you have, so I'll lean on you for the prediction. We'll take a break. We have a guest waiting. More to come right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. The spring is over. The fall is just around the corner, so that means everybody's looking ahead. And all these top 25 polls are out. They all mean about the same thing, but Chris Lowe has done a really interesting job. He's gone into the top 25 and looked at the reality and then the overreaction. Chris, thank you. Always great to have you on. I'll spare the audience going through this, but I'm really interested in your approach to this, other than just simply accepting the reality of, okay, these are the top 25. How did you go about looking into where the devil in the details really comes together?
Part of it's just doing it forever and knowing that probably the greatest fool's goal out there when it comes to football all is spring results. I mean, it's spring games in particular. And we all, media fans, get caught up in what happens in the spring game. And having a chance to go to some of these places, I made the rounds this spring and talked to a lot of people. And that's probably the biggest thing is I've been one not to get overly infatuated with what happens in a spring football game.
Chris, I appreciate every single fan who goes to the game or watches on TV or however they see it and comes back and tells us what they see and what it means. Like, Arch Manning was unbelievable in the spring game. But I want you to explain, there is a method to the coach's approach to these games, and it's not exactly sharing information with the fans, is it?
No. Well, you know what the number one priority for every coach is in the spring, and certainly the spring game, is not to get anybody hurt. That's the number one goal. And certainly not to show a whole lot. Every game's on live or tape TV, and give guys that haven't played a lot chances to get out there, you know, on a stage like that and see what they can do, you know, with people in the stands, et cetera. And I think two of the biggest overreactions, and we wrote this, was that there's somehow a quarterback controversy brewing at Alabama and Texas. And I would say it's not a quarterback controversy, Paul. It's a quarterback luxury. Because at both of those places, those staffs feel like they've got two guys that they can win with. And nobody, and I mean nobody, has quarterback depth anymore in this day and age in college football. Because guys leave. Was it 47% of the starters in college football last year were transfers? And if a guy's not a starter coming out of the spring, he leaves. Or certainly going into the preseason. So at Texas, with Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning, and certainly at Alabama, with Jalen Milroe, and the way Ty Simpson played this year, which was dramatically different than the way he played last year. I think you credit Kalen DeBoer and that staff for a lot of that, his decision-making, his confidence. They felt like, Paul, this time last year, or certainly going into spring practice, Alabama did, the old staff, that Simpson was probably going to be the guy, but he just didn't play well. Didn't play with a lot of confidence, didn't make a lot happen, and maybe went into a little bit of a shell. Well, he played much better this spring, and I think they feel very good if something were to happen, especially now in a landscape where you may have to play 15, 16 games or more in a college football season. That's an eternity. Quarterbacks get hurt. They don't play well. Things happen. That you've got two guys, and I think they feel very good in Tuscaloosa. Ty Simpson's a guy that could lead that football team if they needed him to.
Talking to Chris Lowe after spring. Chris, let me dig deeper into the SEC. It's interesting that the hot name is one of the names that get all the buzz almost every year anyway, but this time it seems legitimate, does it not? And we're speaking of Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss.
Yeah, and Lane has he has stocked that roster in such a way that we haven't seen Ole Miss maybe since you and John Vaught were palling around back in the 60s or whatever. it really is. And he and his staff, and not only players, but look at his staff. Look at some of the additions that they're – I think they've got about 40 or 50 analysts on that staff now. Guys have been head coaches before, but – on the defensive side of the ball, they've gone and gotten guys who played in the SEC and performed in the SEC and brought them over. Same with offensive guys at running back, bringing a guy like Henry Parrish. And I think the thing that probably has been underrated about Ole Miss going into this season is they've got a guy who's going to be a third-year starter quarterback, Jackson Dart, another transfer from USC who has played and gotten better and certainly has excelled in Lane's system. But they're going to have to deal with something this year that Ole Miss, in my lifetime, really has never dealt with, Paul, and that's expectations. Anything less than a playoff appearance, I think, for Ole Miss this year, fans in Oxford are going to be upset. They fully expect that football team to be in the playoff, to be a 10-win-plus football team. And as Lane's old boss, Nick Saban, used to like to refer to rat poison, some teams deal with rat poison well, some teams don't. In Ole Miss's case, this is a football program that really hasn't had a lot of rat poison to this degree, whether they're a top-10 team going into the season and a team that is talented enough to be a playoff team, but you got to go out and do it.
Talking to Chris Lowe. Chris, you said something that really got my attention a minute ago. It was what you said in relation to Lane Kiffin in the analyst room. This is something that we've seen grow. Certainly Nick Saban played a big role in all that. But what do all these former head coaches do in that analyst room? And is there a net gain to the overall staff?
I think it depends on who you bring in and what role, what guys are willing to do and how they fit. I think that's the biggest thing. But when you can get guys who've been head coaches before, and are secure enough in their skin, Paul, to be a part of that staff and to weigh in, watching tape. I've been in some of these staff meeting rooms before at Florida, at Alabama, at Texas A&M, all over, where you have these crowded meeting rooms and you look around and there are all these faces and names who've been coordinators before, who've been head coaches, and aren't afraid to weigh in. And I think head coaches have to be secure enough as well. I mean, that they're not afraid that they're looking over their shoulder, someone's trying to take their job. And I don't think that's the way Lane's wired. I mean, certainly he's very secure in his own skin. And having guys in there that have been head coaches and are willing to look at tape. And you know, there are proposals out there, Paul, too, that at some point, I don't know when that's going to be, that you can have unlimited coaches participating in instruction on the field. Right now they can't, but certainly getting ready, putting a game plan together, looking at tape, looking at other teams. And I think that's where a lot of these guys are most beneficial, is trying to find hiccups or weaknesses or deficiencies in other football teams that they're getting ready to play or maybe have played against them, where these guys come in, they could be very beneficial.
Chris, before you go, the story the other day about Kirby Smart's new deal, and I think it just shows you where we are in college football when somebody making as much as $13 million, is mostly maybe with the exception of his family, is greeted with a big yawn. Your thoughts on that in particular and just where we are with coaching salaries?
Yeah, well, out of control. I mean, outrageous would be my first reaction. But yet, the market is what it is, Paul. And I mean, remember, and we're old enough to remember when Alabama hired Nick Saban in 2007, and they gave him an 8-year, $32 million contract, and everybody just gasped. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to pay a college football coach $4 million a year? Well, everybody in the SEC now makes more than $4 million a year. Lane makes $9 million. Josh Heupel makes $9 million. Mark Stoops makes $9 million. So it's just where the market is. Schools are willing to pay it. I think it tells you, it tells you that these schools are making tons of money. They're generating tons of revenue. And they're willing to go out and pay what they feel like they need to pay for a coach that's going to get them to the top of the college football echelon. And in Kirby's case, when you look at what he's done in the amazing consistency in a league that you know chews up and spits out even the best of schools from time to time, 7 straight years now they finished in the top 7 nationally in the AP poll. Nobody else has done that. Alabama didn't do that. Nobody. They've won 2 national championships. They play, I think, since he is his second year, they've either played for an SEC title, played for a national title, or won a national title every year but one. And if anybody's going to make $13 million, which again is crazy, that's monopoly money, Kirby would be the guy.
Chris Lowe, always fantastic to join us. We appreciate it. We head to the break. Your reaction to all of that and more of your phone calls. It is Monday.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And early on a Monday afternoon, very interesting conversation there with Chris. Let's get more. We're back to the phones. Jake is in Ohio. Hello, Jake.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We are doing great.
So I wanted to call about the college football rivalry you guys put up there on Twitter. And man, it got me thinking, you know, there's some great, great college football games. It would be Texas OU, Auburn, Alabama, Navy, and Army. But I think the one rivalry that nobody's talking about enough is Texas A&M versus Winning. You know, that's pretty hard to have a fierce rivalry against Winning since 1939. That's tough to do. Congrats to them. And that's a very, very tough rivalry. So thanks for the phone call, Paul. Appreciate it. And
thanks,
hook horns.
Yeah, a major slam right there on Texas A&M.
Oh, wow, dude. What's your team? A sorry big team in the Big Ten? You know how many championships the SEC has won compared to your sorry Big Ten team? Okay, you can bash A&M all you want. You can laugh at us, say that we suck. We have one since 1939. You want to talk about rivalries? At least our rivalry is better than your sorry Michigan-Ohio State. We didn't punch somebody like your coach did in Ohio State. Literally punched a player in the face in a Texas A&M and Texas rivalry game. None of our coaches ever did that. Our rivalry has more bad blood. Here's the story, loser. Our team, with his core cadets, pulled their swords out when UT tried to plant their flag in our stadium. Okay? What kind of rivalry do you have with Michigan? Okay? Michigan has dominated Ohio State ever since Jim Harbaugh got there. Yeah, we haven't won a title since 1939. Okay. But you know what? We have a better coach now saying, take us to the promised land so you can shut your buffetic little mouth. Ohio State fans, until you can prove to me you can beat Michigan and get back to the national championship, shut up. You want to rag on us? Until you can beat Michigan this year, I'm sorry, Ohio State. You ain't going to the national championship at all. Dig him. So,
oh, what a call. Pat in Georgia is up next.
Hey, Paul. Thank you. I think Kirby's new contract, I think it's a pretty good contract. You know, we're not only paying him to win games now, we pay him to work the portal, and we also pay him to raise money for the collectives. So I think he's fairly compensated, and we do want to keep him around. I wanted to talk about the antitrust thing, and damages are treble, and the number I've been hearing is 2.7 and billion with a B, and I think the NCAA is probably going to end up negotiating a settlement rather than taking it to court. And some of the numbers I've heard is after we get into the 15-team playoff, maybe it's $80 million total income, and then you got to pay about $20 million for the settlement of the suit at any given university in the Big Ten or SEC or elsewhere. And if you end up going the collective bargaining way to avoid the antitrust situation, the basic assumption there is the players are employees. So where are we going to go, Paul?
Well, I think that's exactly where we're going to go, Pat. At some point fairly soon, there will be a creative way. You're an accountant, so you can relate to this, to find a way to pay them that doesn't quite sound like they are normal employees.
Well, they could be paid as independent contractors, but
right.
but that's not gonna fly. The thing about the collective bargaining agreement is that they stay there. I mean, that's the quid in the quid pro quo.
Right.
All right. We'll share revenue with you, but you're going to have to stay at the school for 2 years or 3 years or whatever is negotiated in the collective bargaining agreement. And aside from all the money, one of the things I've been thinking about, kids, 3% of them go to the NFL and they're only in it for 5-6 years average. They're not getting an education. They really don't have an alma mater. If you played football for 5 different colleges, where are you going for homecoming? Which one are you going to go for homecoming?
No, you're right. You raised some really, really salient points. Thank you very, very much for the call. Harry in New Orleans.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Harry.
Paul, can I ask you a little Tennessee trivia question?
I'll give it a shot.
I'm going to give it a shot, Paul. I'll give you a hint, Paul. I'm 75, and I think this was when I was 10 years old, and I probably only remember it because he was one of my neighbors. Who was the All-American quarterback from New Orleans, first-team All-American, who did not go to the NFL, but later served for 20 years in the Louisiana Senate?
Oh, well, I know this guy. Go ahead and answer it before I try. The audience won't see me moan here in trying to figure.
Hank Orosella, Paul.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see when you he played in the 50s, didn't he?
Yes, 1950 and 51, I believe.
Yeah, 51 was the national championship
team. I thought, yes.
I didn't realize he was in the Louisiana legislature.
For 20 years, Hank served as
that.
A senator. And let me give you a little final jazz.
When you said Louisiana legislator, you know, I was thinking of someone who had been to jail, so I got thrown off.
Well, he might be one of the few Louisiana senators that was never indicted.
No, I mean, that's, I've interviewed Billy Cannon. I've interviewed others from down there. So that was a curveball. Your clue was a curveball, Harry.
I'm sorry. But anyway, let me give you a little closing remark on the Jazz Fest. Thursday, Mick Jagger, after several attempts, finally made it to the Jazz Fest.
Oh, wow.
And where did he dine? Commander's Palace.
Did he really? I've said this a couple of years ago, but it's worth repeating because I've always promised to take my wife to Commander's Palace, and the last time we were there, we were with a friend who had to take us to one of Lugosi's hot new restaurants, which wasn't... So let's see, what year was it? 14. I was down there for the Alabama-Ohio State game.
Right.
And I met a friend at Galatoire's, and I always loved the place. Was there the last time I was in New Orleans. And then, so we had lunch at Galatoire's. It was New Year's Eve. We had New Year's Eve at Commander's Palace. Harry,
wow.
I mean, the number of calories, cholesterol, fatty acids, in my life, I've never had that much in me.
I heard that Mick Jagger shattered the dress code.
you know, the funny thing about Commanders, Harry, we through hook or crook, we got into Galatoire's on New Year's Eve for lunch, and we did not have a reservation at Commander's. So here's the deal. I call... And what's the name of the family? Is it Brennan?
Yeah, Brennan family.
So I call, on a whim, I said, let me give it a shot. I call them up, and they said, listen, I'm sorry, there's virtually no chance. I said, well, can I just leave my name? I didn't expect anybody to know me. So I give my name, and the guy goes, oh, my goodness. He said, we're all big Alabama fans. And I said, that's amazing. They said, just come on over here. We'll take care of you. So we were able to go upstairs. It was truly remarkable. I don't need to tell you, that's a pretty good night to go to Commander's Palace, New Year's Eve.
Paul, you got two tough tickets to New Year's Eve. I'll tell you what.
And by the way, I mean, Harry, we could spend an hour talking about restaurants that people have heard of. The last time I was there, I ate at the quintessential neighborhood restaurant. It was near Tulane, and it was amazing. But I had never heard of the place. But it's one of the, you know what I'm talking about. You live down there.
Yeah. Was it Manali's?
I've been to, but no, it wasn't Manali. It's funny. I ate there with I'm not going to give it away. I ate there with somebody from LSU, and then one of the better known politicos who's ever come out of New Orleans. Or that area, and it was fantastic, but it was a couple of blocks from Tulane, but I had never heard of the place, Harry. I'll dig it up, because I've got it in my book. Next time you call, I'll share it. We're up against the break. We are back with much, much more.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE.
Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, it starts tomorrow night. SEC Now, live from Auburn at the SEC softball tournament. You can tell we are at that point of the year. And let's get back to the calls. And Michael is up next in Memphis. So hello, Michael.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey there.
I am so excited to be back on the show. It's been a couple of years.
Well, Michael, thanks for rejoining us.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm excited about football season. I'm proud of my Alabama football team, the Crimson Tide, the new era. We about to get it. We are going to be the national champions of college football next season. Kellen DeBoer going to bring the championship to Tuscaloosa, offensive-minded coach, Jalen Milroe for Heisman. You already know what I mean. You know what I'm saying?
Sure do, Michael. Great to have you back. Whoa, Lynn is, he's been saving that up forever. Lynn is up next.
Paul.
Yes, sir.
Lynn, Chattanooga, 1968 graduate of UT Knoxville before you was born.
Well, great to hear from you, Lynn.
First-time caller. Two things real quick. In 63, my freshman year, that was the last year UT Knoxville ran the old single wing, and it was awesome to see. And second, last Wednesday night, we had the Big Orange Caravan in Chattanooga, and after the coaches talked, they asked for a question, and I stood up and said, Coach Barnes and Coach Heupel, thank you for beating Alabama. And I got the biggest roar of the night.
Well, I bet. That's still pretty important.
Yes, it is, and I got to meet the Lady Vols and shake her hand. She's a got her chore for her, but I think she may do a good job.
Well, Lynn, great to hear from you, and you stay in touch. Thank you very, very much. Braxton is in Knoxville. Hey, Braxton.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great.
Yeah, that's good to hear, Paul. I was going to say two things, Paul. Number one, Tennessee's going to, like, I just heard the guy saying Alabama's winning the national championship. First of all, no. I like Tennessee at home next year. Let's flood it back. Let's flood the field again. Let's take down, let's not take down the goalposts, but let's storm the field. Let's beat and roll tide. I was looking on ESPN today from spring practices, their reports, and Nico, quarterback Nico, he kind of under-delivered. A lot of people are saying, in front of SEC teams, he's going to have to bulk up. He's going to have to get stronger. He's kind of under-delivering. And a team I'm very surprised with is NC State. They scored 51 points in their offensive on the spring game, and I think that's outstanding for NC State. Then again, they're not an SEC team, but I think they're going to be dangerous. I think they might shock Tennessee, but, like, I'm a Tennessee fan, hoping for the best, but, you know, you can't always get it both ways. But I was also going to say, I'm sorry sometimes if people disrespect you on the show. I think you're a great guy, and I respect you, and thanks for taking on these calls. And,
Braxton, thank you. Thank you for saying that. That's kind of you, but Pete, this is a give and take talk show. It's like a Tom Brady roast. You never know what you're going to get. Jason is up next in Georgia. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I listen off and on. I work, so I don't get to listen all the time. But from what I'm hearing from Alabama fans, Nick Saban was holding them back, Paul. I mean, he was in the way. I mean, they're going to be better than ever because we're Alabama. I mean, he was just holding them back, Paul. He's just in the way.
Well, Jason, I mean, it's a fact. They didn't win a national championship in his final 3 years, and that's just not up to the standard of Alabama football.
You're right. You're right. I mean, like I said, Nick Saban was just a problem. He was just holding them down.
Well, now that they have cleared him out, like you would when you spring clean your garage, I think they're in great shape.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think they're going to win it every year from here on out.
The thing about DeBoer that I'm so impressed with is that he has been to Alabama. Now that he's been there for 3 or 4 months, he will understand the culture. He'll understand the recruiting. He has not lost on a player since he's gotten there. So I think everybody in the SEC, including Kirby Smart, better watch out.
All right, Paul. We'll see about that.
Jason, thank you. Wow. And we hope to talk to DeBoer later in this week as we... we'll be sharing that with you in a couple of days. So let's take a momentary break. Scott Rabelais joining us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.